The one thing that never changes is God himself in his very nature. Every time we come together, he is always worthy of our praise. Amen. He is worthy. He is holy, holy, holy. And that's really where we began this series a few weeks ago. And I'm excited to continue this series. This is what we're really talking about. The conversation that we're having is really for anybody who wants a closer relationship with God, who wants a deeper relationship with him, a more intimate relationship with God. So we've been looking at hymns, songs that have they've stood the test of time. And they have impacted our lives many times over, but they have within them embedded this biblical scripture, this biblical truth of scripture that we're pulling out and looking at to help us understand what a closer relationship looks like with God. And so a few weeks ago, we started with the song, Holy, Holy, Holy. And what we discovered was that God, in fact, is holy, meaning he is set apart. He is completely different than us. He is the creator, and we are the created. And it's important for us, when it comes to relationship, for us to start with who God is, so that we can understand that who we are in light of who he is. And every week, we have a memory verse that we have used to drive the truth of this scripture into our hearts. You guys have been memorizing your scriptures every week, right? Okay, there's not a lot of you. Hey, I heard from some kids this past week that they've been getting on their parents about memorizing their scripture. I love that. I love the pressure that our kids put on us because, you know, someone says, hey, this is a memory verse. They just go, okay, we're supposed to memorize it. And you guys, you go, I don't know if we get around to that. But they've been putting some pressure on their parents. So kids, you got any kids in here, keep it up. Just, you know, they mean well. Just, you know, if they can't memorize their scripture, make them take you out to ice cream or something, okay? You can do this. Put a little pressure on them. It's good. Hey, here's what we know. We know that the greatest spiritual catalyst for spiritual growth is engagement in the Bible on a daily basis, okay? That's the top right there. So if you want to grow spiritually, you need to be in the Word, and a great way to do that is through some of these memory verses. The one that we had for the first week was this. Will you say this with me? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And then we came back the second week, and we looked at God's amazing grace through the great hymn, Amazing Grace. And what we saw is that the problem with being good enough is that none of us are. We will never be good enough to earn or purchase this salvation. And so we looked at Ephesians 2:8 that tells us this. Say this with me. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. So we understand that salvation is a gift of God, purchased by God himself. But at what price? We came back last week and we asked the question, what can wash away my sin? And does anyone remember the answer? You guys are paying attention. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And to drive that truth home, we went to this scripture in Ephesians 1:7. Say this with me. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Now what we want to do this week is we want to take this a step further. We want to ask the question, in light of the finished work of Christ, how does relationship with him work today? What does that look like? Did he just say it is finished and then go on vacation and kind of leave us until he's coming back? Or, you know, when we call on him, does he answer? Or do we get, you know, voicemail? Do we get, you know, transferred to another department? What is this relationship with Jesus really like? And we want to take a closer look at that. And what we're going to do is we're going to take yet again another timeless hymn and pull out some biblical truth for us to answer that question. But first, I'd like for us to pray. Father, would you grant us in this moment the opportunity to look into your word and to receive a word from you. We are here to hear from you. Would you give us ears through our unfailing, faithful friend, the Holy Spirit, would you give us the ability to hear what it is that we need to hear? whether it's comfort or conviction or whatever that may be. Would you give us eyes to see what it is that we need to see today? And we want to see Jesus and only Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. I want to begin by asking you a question. What do you look for in a friend? Like, I'm talking like best friend. In fact, maybe you have in mind your best friend. Okay, let's just go ahead and your best friend in the whole world. Who are they? What is it about them that makes them best friend material? What are the qualities that they have? What are some of the qualities that they don't have that make them a best friend? In fact, maybe you're even sitting next to your best friend today. If you are, just give them a fist bump or a high five or, you know, just, okay, all right, seeing some best friends in the house. I'm realizing if somebody doesn't feel the same, this is an awkward moment. Alicia is my best friend. If you don't know, Alicia is my wife, and I'm one of those that was blessed to marry my best friend. In fact, those of you who are considering marriage in the future, if I could give you one tip, it would be marry your best friend. In fact, that's not just me saying that. Research actually backs that up and says that people are generally happier when they marry their best friend. But there's something about having a friend that you can confide in, somebody who is there to talk to, someone that you know you can depend on. I've got this habit that I almost didn't even realize that I had. Every day, I finish work, I get in the truck, and I'm driving home, and the first thing that I do is call Alicia. For no reason. I call every day, say, I'm headed home, just to let you know I'm headed home. And every day she says, well, I bet you're starving. And every day I say, how do you know? You know, it's just like this thing. And so, you know, you've got a friend that you can talk to, and we know each other. I mean, she knows me. On those days where I'm in a mood and I want to pretend like I'm not, she knows. I can't pull one over on her. We've spent too much time together. She knows me too well. And I know her pretty well too. In fact, I know now that when she says, fine, do whatever you want, that doesn't actually mean do whatever you want. I have learned these things because she is my best friend. I think I made a friend this past week, because one of the things that you look for in a friend, you want a friend who will tell you the truth, okay? Tell you things that maybe not everyone is willing to tell you, but we all need those friends who are willing to tell us the truth. This past week, I was guest speaking at a church, and we were just about to get started. We were up front, ready to go, when one guy said to the other, doesn't he kind of remind you of John Cena? And there's a little lady in the front row, in at least in her 80s, and without skipping a beat, she goes, well, he's going to need some more muscles for that. I said, you can't see me. No, I did not do that. I so wish I would have. But the fact that she knew who he was, right? Like that was, you know, it was like, okay, you've been watching some wrestling. I know what's going on here. But she was willing to, you know, tell me the truth. We need friends like that. In fact, maybe you're thinking of a moment in time or someone along in your path that told you the hard truth and it just changed everything. Maybe you weren't able to admit it in the moment, but you go, okay, yeah, they're right. Friends who we can confide in, friends who can confide in us, friends who will tell us the truth. And you may be here today and you may be thinking, you know, I don't have a lot of friends. Maybe you don't feel like you have any. Maybe you feel like you have a lot of friends. Here's what I'm so excited to share with you today, embedded in the truth of Scripture, and that is this. That longing that we have for friendship, you were created for friendship. Going back to Genesis 2, God had already said, it is good, it is good, it is good, it is good. Does anybody remember the first time that he said, it is not good? It is not good for man to what? Be alone. You see, it's embedded in our very DNA. You and I were created for friendship. And I'm not just talking about earthly companionship. I'm talking about friendship with God. Now, John, in his gospel, writes about this. He's actually quoting Jesus and recording the words of Jesus. But look what he says in John chapter 15. He says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's what? Friends." You are my what? You are my friends if you do what I command. Now, what has Jesus commanded? Well, we'd have to read the verse right before that when Jesus says, "You are to love one another as I have loved you." That's the command. You are to love one another as I have loved you. And Jesus says to them, even though they don't understand it in the moment, he is going to lay down his life for his friends. And his friends, they do what he commands. Okay? It's not saying that they're his friends because they do, but he's just acknowledging the obvious. My friends love one another as I have loved them. And the thing about this friendship with Jesus is that he extends it to us before we're ready to receive it. And Romans 5:8 tells us this, that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still in rebellion to God, while we were still enemies of God, Christ is laying down his life for his friends. Even before we were ready to receive that. Now, this is interesting as well, because the religious leaders of the day, when they wanted to levy an insult against Christ, do you remember what they would say? They would say, "He is a friend of sinners. He's a friend of tax collectors. He's a friend of sinners." I don't know about you, but I know one sinner who thanks God that Jesus Christ is a friend of sinners. Anybody in this house thankful today for that truth, that he is a friend of sinners? I know at least one other man that I think would agree with that sentiment. He lived long ago. His name was Joseph Scriven. And Joseph never intended to write the hymn that we're going to look at today. He never intended to write a hymn. What he was really wanting to do was write a poem to comfort his mother. Joseph was in Canada. She was in Ireland. He did not have the funds to go see her. So he did the next best thing, and he wrote a poem to comfort his mother. And we still have these words today. The first verse reads like this: "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." These words that Joseph wrote, it was a personal poem to his mother. But we know the rest of the story. That poem would become one of the most popular hymns of all time. And Joseph would not only comfort his mother as she was deathly ill, but comfort thousands and thousands, countless people throughout the years. In fact, maybe these words have actually maybe come to comfort you at some point. But Joseph wrote those words, and I want you to know that he didn't just write these words in just times of joy. Joseph didn't have an easy life. In fact, quite the opposite. These words that we just read, they were forged in the crucible of pain and tragedy. Joseph, when he was 25, was set to be married. He had his whole life ahead of him, and the day before he was to be wed, they would be pulling his fiancée out of the nearby lake where she had tragically drowned. The day before they were to be married, Joseph would fall in love 5 years later. And you know what they say, lightning never strikes the same place twice. Except for the fact that it did for Joseph, because he would meet and fall in love with his love, Eliza, but she would get tuberculosis months before they were to be wed and would die just days before their wedding. Again, Joseph lost not one, but two fiancés, lost his mother. I don't think any of us would blame Joseph if he had a few intense conversations with God. And I'm sure he did. But I want you to know that the same man that endured such tragedy in his unthinkable tragedy in his life wrote this second verse. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? And Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I love the honesty that he brings to this hymn. The honest question, can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Well, I want you to know today that the writer of Hebrews gives a resounding yes. There is a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open up to Hebrews chapter 4. This is one of those I love highlighting and underlining and circling words in my Bible. This might be one of those passages that you want to highlight. Look at what the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with us in our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet, he did not sin. So, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. There are three things that I want us to pull out from this passage. The first thing is, when we're looking to see just what kind of friend Jesus is, well, he's this kind of friend. Number one, Jesus hears you. Okay, this is an important place to start. Because the writer of Hebrews goes to the trouble to say, this is Jesus, the Son of God, who, by the way, has ascended into heaven. Yes, he died on the cross. Yes, he was laid in the tomb. But on the third day, he rose from the dead. He defeated death. And now he has ascended into heaven. He is alive. He is alive and he is seated at the right hand of God. Now, what does all that mean? That means that Jesus is not just willing to be your friend. He is able. He's not buried in some tomb somewhere. He is alive. And he is not only willing, but he is able to hear you. Jesus is not only willing to hear you. Number two, Jesus knows how you feel. What did the writer of Hebrews tell us? That we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize or sympathize with our weakness. He knows how you feel. Whatever emotions you are feeling, whatever's got you weighed down, whatever is tempting you, those weaknesses, those hurts, and those worries, Jesus knows how you feel. Now, he did not sin. Let's be very clear. He did not sin. He did not know sin, but he did know the temptation. I mean, do you have friends in your life that will not only listen to you, but as they're listening, you just know they understand? Maybe there's something that you're going through in life, something that they've gone through in life. And there's just a different level of comfort that you receive when you're with them. And Jesus not only hears you, he not only knows how you feel, but he offers help. See, Jesus, he offers help. What would the scripture tell us? It tells us that we should approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Why? Because we can receive mercy and find grace when we need help in our time of need. What is it that you need? We trust that God will give us that help. Jesus not only hears you, he not only knows how you feel, but he offers help. Three things we want to pull from this text. And as we look at that truth in Scripture, that Jesus hears you, that he knows how you feel, that he offers you help, and then we think about the truth in this song, it leads us to this verse. And in fact, this is going to be our memory verse for this week. So this is what you're going to want to memorize. Look at this. Say this with me, if you will. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Let's say that again. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. One more time, like you believe it. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You see, Jesus is a friend so close that he is commanding you to cast your anxiety on him because he knows that's what you need and he knows what that's what's best for you. So we want to be practical. I don't want to just today try to encourage you and tell you that Jesus is a friend. We want to be very practical and talk about what does friendship with Jesus look like. How do we practice friendship with Jesus? How can we practice friendship with Jesus even this week? Well, to do that, we're going to have to learn to cast. Learn how to cast. The first thing that we do is we confess our worries. So confess your worries to him. This is the place to start. If you are here today and you're looking for that fresh start, it always starts with the first step. Maybe this is your first step to confess your worries to God. Maybe you've never taken that step. To confess what it is that's got you weighed down, what it is that's hurting you. Confess your weakness. Confess those temptations. Yes, he already knows, but this is important for us to do. Why? Because this is an act of humility. To humble ourselves before God, to name it, to confess it, and to say it to him. To confess your worries, it's an act of vulnerability with God. It's an act of humility. And then after you've confessed your worries, then the next thing you need to do is ask for help. You've laid it before God, now petition him, ask him for help. What are you doing? You're acknowledging that you can't do it on your own. And I know this is hard for us, so this is really good for us to ask God for help. God, I can't do this on my own. I need your strength. I need your guidance. I need your grace. I need you to come through because I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I would do without you. Confess your worries and then ask him for help. Remember, this is Jesus who has said, these are my friends. And remember what the writer of Hebrews said about Jesus, that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence because of our high priest. Confess your worries. Ask for help. And the third thing you need to do is search the Scriptures. Yes, it is very important for you to bring your truth to Jesus, but once you have done that, you need to let him bring his truth to you. It is his truth. He is the truth. And that is the truth that will heal you. And that is the truth that will set you free. Yes, it is important for you to confess your worries and to ask for help. But at some point, you need to open the Word of God and search the Scriptures. Because here's what's going to happen. You will search the Scriptures and pretty soon the Scriptures will begin to search you and reveal things to you that are true about you and true about God. Have you ever had a friend who they do all the talking? And they just talk and talk and talk, and you're wondering kind of when your moment to talk is going to come, but it never really comes? Well, don't be that kind of friend. Yes, it is very important for us to humbly seek God and to speak to him, to confess your worries and to ask him for help. But at some time, you need to let him speak to you. And the way that he's going to do that, through the power of our unfailing, faithful friend, the Holy Spirit, many times is through his word. And we need to be able to know the difference between what it is that God is saying in the noise of the world, but the only way that we're going to know the difference is His Word. Confess your worries. Ask for help. Search the Scriptures. And then finally, it comes down to this. Trust in Him. At some point, it is going to come down to faith. You've confessed your worries. You've asked for help. You've searched the Scriptures. And now the time has come to, as the Proverbs say, to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and to lean not on your own understanding and to acknowledge Him in all of your ways. And He will set your path straight. Somebody here today needs God to set your path straight. It begins with trust. Trust in Him. That's what Joseph Scriven did in his life. Obviously, a lot of tragedy in his life. But he would go on to enjoy friendship with Jesus, doing exactly what we're talking about, casting your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Joseph Scriven, even in light of a very hard life and a lot of hard days, he wouldn't give in. And he wouldn't give up. In fact, he would live a life of just giving. He would chop wood for widows. There are stories about how he would give his clothes away to the poor, give money away to the poor. Instead of giving in and giving up, he gave. And I believe that he did that because he understood friendship with Jesus. I don't know, maybe I'm talking to somebody who is there. I think that's pretty likely. I've already talked to people today who are there. You're at the end of yourself. And you may even be thinking about giving up. Joseph Scriven chose a life of service. And Joseph was the one who would write this final verse. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee, and thou wilt find a solace there. I wonder if you could use a shield and a refuge. I wonder if you are seeking solace in your life. I think Joseph Scriven had it right. Take it to the Lord in prayer. On October 10th, 1896, at the age of 66, Joseph would pass away. And he would have had it arranged that he would be buried by his long-lost love, Eliza. Except for this one detail. He would be buried with his feet opposite of her. And the thought was that they would rise to face one another one day on the day that Jesus would come back on that beautiful, glorious resurrection day. He had that kind of hope because he had that kind of friendship with Jesus. And you can too. That's what this series is all about. You can have that kind of relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's what they desire. Cast your cares. Cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. I wonder what your next step is. And here's the thing that I believe. I believe, including myself, we all have a next step today. And that next step is to move closer to Jesus. But what does that look like for you? Maybe you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus. That's the first step. Every relationship begins like that, right? We take a step towards that person. And Jesus calls us to surrender our heart to Him. And if you've never taken that step, may today be the day. We're going to pray together, And that prayer is a way for you to talk to God, and that prayer is a way for you to begin that relationship with Him. So here in just a moment, we're going to pray together. And if today's your first day to surrender your heart to Jesus, I'm going to invite you to stand right here in this service. I'm going to invite you to stand boldly and courageously to say, I'm beginning a relationship with Jesus. We've already had people stand in our services today and make that decision, and it's a beautiful thing. We want to celebrate with you because of all of heaven is already celebrating. I heard one story earlier of a lady who drove an hour and a half today in the rain. She came here and she rededicated her life to Jesus today. I wonder what God is calling you to. Yeah, we can give it up for that. Maybe you feel like your journey has brought you here to this place, and it was a lot more than an hour and a half, and it's, I'm sure, had a lot of ups and downs. But Jesus is here to receive you. Let's go to Him. Let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Repeat this after me, if you will. Jesus, I am not perfect, for I have sinned, but I believe in you. Save me. Change me. Forgive me. I give you my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.